For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Figure this thing out, but got a text from a friend of mine. She's like, I've been walking for an hour listening to you guys dead air, waiting for you to come. Emily, shout out. Thank you very much. Hopefully we're back. My wife been listening. Tammy from the Westin's not. I got a lot of women that listen. Anyway, hopefully everybody's app is back. Hopefully it's working for you. Rob Maloney, I hope you're not having withdrawals this morning, sitting in a corner, sucking your thumb, rocking back and forth, thinking about Max Laugh.
Hey, Rob.
It's interesting. Thinking about Max Laugh, rocking back and forth, sucking your thumb.
Right.
We've all been there.
Going to Applebee's. No yes. Air conditioning.
Brioche.
It is, yeah. Of all spots to go for your birthday. But anyway, congratulations.
Thank you. Somebody can go wherever the hell they want in Kansas City. Let's have a little bit of an appreciation for Salvador Perez.
Yeah.
So, Salvador Perez, in my opinion, will go down as maybe a top three, top four at least, Kansas City athlete of all time.
Who else would you put on that? And I'm not asking for a Mount Rushmore.
No,
but I mean, when you factor the whole package of Salvi, it's hard not to have him like number one, right?
The only two I have above him are George and Patrick.
Yeah,
those are the only two.
Mm-hmm.
Because what Patrick Mahomes has done in such a short span of time and completely flipped a franchise and everything that is his resume, it speaks for itself. George Brett, the first, you know, outside of Lynn Dawson, was really the first baseball player. And we know how this town is with baseball. Never left the Royals, you know, whatever. Lynn Dawson, probably up there as well, if you want to put him in there.
Right.
But like, you think about the entire makeup of Salvador Perez, right? The guy has literally played with nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
He's a captain, and he has probably the biggest hit in Royals franchise history.
You know, you could debate. I think there are three that you could debate as the biggest hit in Royals franchise history. And Kurt Nelson, if you're listening, I'd like your input on that. The text line can input as well. You've got the Salvi wild card hit, mm-hmm. which we can play the highlight of because everybody loves to hear that.
Right.
You've got the Alex Gordon home run.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got George off of Goose Gossage. And I know for like our generation, that really doesn't resonate. But at that time, that was a major, major, major moment for the Kansas City Royals. So I think you've got those three that kind of factor in. But we're living in a generation now where everybody knows Salvi. And without that wild card hit, who knows what happens, right? Maybe 15 doesn't even happen. I don't know. And Gordon's home run obviously coming in 15 against the Mets. So I mean, you know, you're kind of splitting hairs when you say which one is bigger, but man, that Salvi wild card hit, there's just something special about that one, Dusty, man. Like everybody knows, because that was the time that we had the opportunity to win a playoff game for the first time in 29 years.
The pitch, swinging a ground ball to third, is fair! Fair ball! Up the left field line, here's Cologne, and the Royals win it!
And in about a month, we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of that on, I think it is September 30th.
It is.
And from what I understand, we may be airing the whole game on this station at some point in time on that day, because that's arguably, and it just depends on how you feel, that may be the greatest game in Royals history, that wild card game, with all the emotion, with the ups and the downs, and celebrating a postseason, to being upset that they may have lost, to Yordano being in, to firing Ned in the middle of the game, like the whole thing. I don't know that there's ever been a game that's had a range of emotions with an outcome like that, like we saw that night 10 years ago.
The pitch, swinging a ground ball to third, is fair! Fair ball!
Such a great call by Ryan, too.
And Salvador Perez, when you look at like what players do, are they loyal? Are they fun? Are they unanimously liked by media, fans, teams, peers? Everybody liked it. Salvador Perez checks all those boxes. Salvador Perez will constantly frustrate people with swinging at the low and away pitch. It's
Does he
happen.
Do that as much anymore, though? Yeah.
I mean, he'll do it once a game. He'll do it once in a bat or once a game at least. And the thing is one thing that another attribute that Salvador Perez has is he has that clutch gene. Or he has the sort of player type of thing that when you see this man come up in a situation, you feel great.
You do.
And I'm not going to lie to you. When I was at home last night watching that second game, sitting there on the couch, having a cold one, thinking to myself, okay, this is why we're locked in. This is what we want to see. This is, you know, this is playoff type of baseball. And, you know, you're kind of thinking what's going to happen next. I'm sitting there, the bases are loaded up. They intentionally walked Bobby Witt Jr. I'm thinking to myself, okay, one thing here I can admit, Bobby's arrived.
Yeah.
Like to the point of like where it's like, we're not pitching this guy. He just beat us for a home run in the game before. They talked to the manager of the Cleveland Guardians in the postgame. Vern played on his postgame show. He's like, man, Bobby's a freak. You know, we got to figure out how to get him out. We got to figure out what our strategy is moving forward. And then Vern's like, we'll see how they pitch to Bobby in the second game. Very conservative, even walking to walk the bases loaded. Vinny gets out. Sal does.
He's had a huge day and night. 3-1 pitch. Swing and a high fly ball. Deep left center. That's way back. And it's gone. A grand slam for Salvador. And the Royals lead it 9-4. Easy power from Salvi does it again.
457-foot grand slam ties Frank White for most grand slams all time in the history of the Royals. Exactly. And then you look at what Salvador Perez, why he's so loved. This is Salvador Perez this week. I tweeted this last night. Plays wiffle ball and makes a bunch of kids' lives, right?
You think because he played wiffle ball, he hit that home run? I do.
It's called karma, dude.
It is. No, 100%.
And he hit a home run the night of playing wiffle ball the day before. The next night, he hit a home run that night and splashed it. Hits a grand slam to put the team up 9-4. Hit a home run earlier in that game. Not only did he play wiffle ball with kids and make their entire life, not only did he absolutely dominate game two and let everybody else kind of sit back and watch him have six RBI and go 2-for-4 with the two big flies.
Mm-hmm.
He won somebody $25,000.
Yeah, $25,000 last night, too. Yeah.
So the dude is a man of the people, a man of the city, and a fan watching Salvador Perez and getting to see his entire career in Kansas City and watching everybody now have to sit back and think to themselves, God, I wish to have that guy on the team. Not only that, he's the captain of this team. He's putting this team on his back when he needs to. He gets in the middle of that order, and he's the veteran in this lineup that's been here for not only two World Series, but going for a third. And you mentioned earlier, if MJ's back gets hot again, if Salvador Perez continues to be the guy he is, and Bobby and Vinny do what they're supposed to do, this team has a nice nucleus of a middle gap of their lineup carrying on to this pitching staff, which I think Cole Reagan's going to be all right. Nothing seemed to be out of the ordinary when it came to tightness or whatever. Maybe it was a little bit of, you know, fatigue, whatever it might have been.
Right.
But this team has it in the middle of that lineup, and they're all three, Vinny, Bobby, Sal, 90 RBIs.
Cam Thomas.
Yeah, great guy. But that's what you want to see in a guy that's an athlete in your hometown is Salvador Perez. That's why I think he's one of the top three greatest athletes in Kansas City history.
I don't think that's a stretch saying that at all, right? I don't think that's a stretch at all. I think Salvi is the entire package. And I'll go one step further. I think at this point in time, if you're appreciating what Salvador Perez is doing out there on the field right now, you need to owe a thank you to Dayton Moore, because that's really the last thing that Dayton Moore did before he was replaced as general manager by the Royals organization. He signed Salvador Perez to that final contract. And I'm sure people thought at the time that they were overpaying Salvador Perez. And maybe they were at that point in time. Or maybe Dayton knew this is the right guy to pay to keep him here in Kansas City long term, because they had that kind of relationship. That was a father-son type of relationship that Dayton and Salvi had. And when that contract came up, I'm sure they sat down. Salvi said, I'll play for this. Dayton said, we'll give you this. They met somewhere, you know, in the middle, and they got the deal done. And I remember when it got signed, I think there were a lot of national analysts going, oh, they're paying an old guy money. What are we doing here? You know, all this kind of stuff. But Dayton made the right move by signing Salvador Perez because he knows how valuable a player he is. And as great as Bobby is and as outstanding as Vinny has been and MJ's playing great baseball, look at what the captain of this team is doing right now. And look at the way that he's keeping this thing together. And there's a great possibility that Salvador Perez leads two different generations of Kansas City Royals to the postseason and leads two different generations of Kansas City Royals to potentially a world championship. And if he does that, that's rarefied air. That starts to meet those categories of what George was able to do, because George had the individual success, probably would have loved more team success, obviously, than just winning that world championship. But if Salvador Perez gets another world championship with a different generation, then people can stop wondering if he's a Hall of Famer. He's a lock for the Hall of Fame. I think he's a lock right now. The Royals win a world championship this year, then Salvador Perez, in my opinion, is a lock for the Hall of Fame. And I'll tell you this. I know you guys were kind of talking about it off the air, but through 132 games, the Royals are 74-58, the exact same record they had in 85-15 when they won the World Series. So, I mean, if Salvador Perez leads this team to a World Series championship this year, there's no more questions about whether or not Salvador Perez is a Hall of Famer, because he is a Hall of Famer.
And if you don't like those stats, I got some bad news. We're going to talk more Royals all day today, because it was a fantastic, perfect day yesterday for the Royals. Keep that juice alive. They'll play again at 5:40 tonight in Cleveland with Lorenzen on the mound. Vern's pregame show at 4:30. Coming up on the other side, we talk a little Deion Sanders, because, well, the guy's just not doing what he should be doing in Colorado. But I also feel...
Oh, you're starting to sour?
But I also feel a little bit on the side of Dan Orlovsky. I'll explain on the other side. Listen to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Missouri athletics. 96.5, The Fan.
Back here on 96.5, The Fan. Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey with you. This show brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology. It's the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Glad to have all the people on the app back with us.
Everybody's back now,
sorry,
baby.
Sorry for the delay.
It's all right.
Got fixed.
People very excited that the app is back working. So,
yep. We'll dive back into the Royals a little bit later on. As they win two games yesterday in the day-night doubleheader, game behind Cleveland in the Central. Salvador Perez is a Greek god. Bobby Witt Jr. is an MVP. Just, unfortunately, Aaron Judge.
Did you see the catch Judge made last night, too, just to add to it? He's robbing home runs now.
Pissing in the fire at this point.
Ugh.
And it is International Cut Day.
Is that what we're calling? Is that what we're calling today? International Cut
International Day.
I like that. Well, there could be. I mean, you know, Luis could be potentially cut today. He's an international roster player. So Dusty's right. It's International Cut Day.
Don't tell Noah Lyles.
Yeah. Please don't. So we'll dive back into that. But where I want to start this next topic is Bob and Tell Miller, because everybody knows that I tend to root for the Colorado Buffaloes.
And I will say, before we get into this, Deion is what got me back into college football. So I'm forever grateful to Deion Sanders.
And if you missed any of the news from last week, there was a reporter, I don't know if it was the Denver Post or the Colorado Times, whatever it was.
You know, that cat used to be here in Kansas City.
Believe it. And Deion Sanders basically told this guy, hey, you keep asking these questions, which he's trying to find a narrative that there is a interruption or there is a turmoil sort of situation inside the locker room of Colorado, that it is a unsafe, unhealthy place. There's a lot of favoritism going on. And a lot of people here, obviously, I know that Deion is not very popular amongst locals, but
why isn't he popular?
He's very arrogant. He's in a division with other local teams. And everybody, I think, kind of looks at Deion as a gun for hire. Like, if, I mean, you look at Jackson State, turned the program around, immediately left, went to Colorado after he told everybody. He's like, oh, yo, you know,
here forever.
You know, I'm here, you know, whatever. So a lot of people don't like that.
He's a joke.
He's flashy. He's
but that's
laughing,
every you know? Coach in college sports. Like, look, they say they're here, and then as soon as the bigger offer comes, they go. Like, who wouldn't do that? Like, we shouldn't expect athletes and coaches to live their lives differently than we all live our lives, right?
And there's one thing that I think is very true to being being an entertainer or being someone that is of that sort of realm.
Right.
You have to lean into it. Otherwise, people will think you're a coward, that you're just doing it for clout. And I think Deion Sanders is this person on and off the field or on and off the camera. Like, I've listened to podcasts. I've listened to what he's done in his career post and pre, like when he's in Dallas, San Francisco. Like, I grew up watching Prime.
Right.
Like, and then he became this, like, larger than life coach. And I'm like, okay, where's it end? Does he ever go back to Florida State and coach? Maybe. We all know that eventually he's going to leave Colorado and probably make the jump to the pros. A lot of people roll their eyes that Deion will never be a pro coach. Just you wait.
I think it's going to be outstanding to see him coaching the Cowboys next year.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, we hope we get there.
Would you hire Deion or Bill Belichick next year?
Come on. Not even close. Not even close.
All right.
Because I look at that three ring circus and I go, that's perfect for, like, Jerry hire Deion, it'd be outstanding.
Jerry
from
would.
Our standpoint, what we do for a
for
living,
what we do,
that's how you have to look at it. So let me re-ask the question. Would you rather see Dallas hire Jerry Jones or Bill Belichick?
I mean, I'd rather them
see Deion Sanders or Bill Belichick.
Either way. So anyway, so he's banned a man from the locker room because he keeps asking the same questions.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Feinbaum, very respected.
Uh-huh.
Had this to say on ESPN's First Take.
Coach Prime is showing he is not ready for prime time, Greeny. I find this whole thing to be disgraceful. Deion may want to talk about love and joy, and that's been the cornerstone of what he seems to be spewing out. But treating reporters like this seems like we're in some autocratic country. This is not America, and the fact that it's in his contract is really even more absurd. But don't forget, he did this at Jackson State. This is a trait of Deion Sanders. He wants to have it his way, and I find him to be a bully and a hypocrite, and quite frankly, as someone who has been a fan of his throughout his entire career, even at Colorado, I am mortified by his actions.
Mm. So he's banned this person from their locker room for asking questions to his players.
That's right.
And Feinbaum takes the side of the media, which is, how dare you block people from your locker room covering your team, doing our job, and you're going to pull this rank, calling him a hypocrite, you know, not ready for the prime time, as he would say. And I see his point.
Yeah, like, no.
I understand where Feinbaum's coming from.
Look, I can speak firsthand knowledge of this situation. I think I can speak on this topic better than anybody else, probably, you know, in the United States today, other than my friend Ron DeMoss, when we were banned by the Royals back in 2006 when they hired Dayton Moore. When you fight a battle as a sports organization with a member of the media like this, I hate to break it to that organization, you're not going to win that argument. You're not going to be painted as the favorite in this, because the rest of the media is now going to gang up and everybody's going to be watching Deion Sanders and paying attention to what goes on in Colorado. And there's not going to be any room for error. There's going to be no benefit of the doubt by the media given to Deion Sanders for the way that he has handled this situation. And that's why you have to learn from things that happened in the past. When they banned us from the Royals back in 06, it was a 2-week national media tour where everybody other than my current employer at that time supported me and Ron DeMoss. The New York Times was doing stories. We were on ESPN seemingly daily. Every, you know, organization was talking to us. And I mean, it was a 2-week whirlwind. It made international news and all that kind of stuff. And so, like I said, other than my current employer at that time, everybody in the media supported Rhonda and I for getting banned by the Kansas City Royals because we didn't do anything wrong. We asked questions at a press conference. And when you're such a small-minded organization, to ban a reporter or to keep a reporter out, man, that's a bad look for you. That shows you can't handle what's going on, and you probably can't handle being a head coach. Because if you're letting some guy in the media get under your skin, what kind of message is that sending to everybody else? You got to be bigger than that. And the best thing for Deion Sanders would have been to ignore it. Now, Paul Feinbaum, who's probably the most important voice in college football, is out here ripping on you.
And a guy that I never really agree with, Dan Orlovsky, which I don't know what his clout is in this sort of situation, he responded to Feinbaum, who he was on the same show with as they were doing this topic together, and these were Orlovsky's words.
Yeah, I mean, for Paul, respectfully, to call him a bully and a hypocrite is ridiculous, in my opinion. So, one, I don't necessarily mind that Deion's trying to control a little bit of the narrative. He's obviously been somebody that's been in the focal point for basically the majority of his life. And it's, we don't know exactly everything that's being said. Maybe some of it is public, and we don't know if anything is done behind the scenes. But I don't mind the fact that he's trying to control a little bit of the narrative, both him and the institution. We can sit here and say, because of the seat that you have, you just have to sit there and take it. But we also do live in a time where at some point, some of these people are allowed to stand up for themselves and not just constantly get dragged. And I don't think he's being a bully. He's just saying, hey, if this is going to be mainly what you do, or only what you do in relation to me or the program, then we're not going to have any type of interaction, and you're not going to be allowed, because not everybody should get a seat when it comes to having the opportunity to cover a program and or their head coach. Deion's not going to be able to run from all of it. I think he's aware of that. At some point, the criticism is a background noise to success. You're not going to be able to run from all of it, but to say he's being a bully and hypocritical, that's extreme when it comes to this situation.
Sometimes, you know, people might use words that, but again, Feinbaum, a guy who covers the sport, who has the clout, knows how this business works, and then Dan Orlovsky to say, well, I think it's unfair, you know, whatever, but it's also like he does have that sort of, and again, I don't think Dan was saying anything that was like solidified into a point that he was standing by passionately. He just kind of like took Feinbaum's take and was like, well, here's the deal though. Mm-hmm. He does have that power if he wants to do that. If he's tired of this one person asking the same question, which I am a little bit into that point, but also like I'm on the other side of Feinbaum as well, where like if Deion's going to live this lifestyle and be this sort of personality, which is very colorful, very loud, very attractive, then like you're going to handle the other side of when people don't like you.
Now, right. Like people don't understand that like a guy like Deion Sanders assumes that he's loved by anybody. And the minute somebody doesn't like him, he doesn't know how to handle that.
Which that's a problem. The other thing that I would say that if Deion really wanted to tack this in the best way possible, and this is just my opinion, he thought that the best person to ever do it was Marshawn Lynch when he didn't want to talk the Super Bowl. And they're like, you have to talk the Super Bowl. Like you have to be available. And he's like, okay, well, what if I don't go? They're like, well, you'll be fine.
Right.
So then every time someone asked him a question, he said, I'm just here so I don't get fined. You know the audio. It's hilarious, but it's also genius. Uh-huh. Like, it's great because those people still tried to ask him questions, and he responded at the same time to the point where they finally were like, okay,
all right,
we're
fine.
Done. Yeah, we're moving on. Right. There's other people there. That's what Deion's got to do. Deion's got to get his college PR team, get with his student athletes, and say, this guy is going to ask you this question every single time. Now, otherwise, some people might say, well, that's not Deion's job. Well, it kind of is.
It is.
And if you can give your players kind of a sadistic, vague response to this, because look, I've talked to Sam Mellinger. I've talked to Chiefs PR. They know people's faces when they walk into the room. They know what type of questions this guy from this station or this guy from this outlet is probably going to ask. I've heard it before. If Deion knows where the guy is, he's like, you know who he is. He's going to come in here every time. Be like, is it toxic in here? Have you guys changed the field? All you've got to do is respond with is, we're just looking forward to the next game. We're building our character and we're moving forward. Every person that you ask, if they give them that respond, that will eventually kill that guy's process. And if that guy continues to go after the same question, then you kind of switch the tide to where it's like, look, dude, we know what you're trying to do. We know the story you're trying to get. It's not there yet. If it is, congratulations. But right now, we're going to give you the vague answer of, we're not answering it. Here's what we're saying. Have a nice day. And if he keeps going and going and going, then I think it merits a point where like the PR come in and be like, hey man, enough's enough. We're not giving you the answers you want. Quit trying to poke the bear. Obviously you're trying to find something that we're not going to let you see is here. If it is there, we'll fix it. But that's not your job to keep asking.
Well, I think also too, though, did they try to talk to this guy? His name's Sean Keeler. He covered the Royals for a hot minute and Chiefs for, I think, Fox Sports or whatever it was back in the day. Right. And so have they pulled him aside and had a conversation with him? Like, has Deion tried to, you know, reach out with the olive branch and say, hey man, obviously there's something that's not clicking between the two of us. Let's have a cup of coffee and sit down and have a conversation. Right. But a lot of times we don't like to do that these days, right? We'd rather be passive aggressive. And I feel like Deion Sanders in Colorado are being about as passive aggressive as you can in this situation. I guarantee you, if Deion talked to this guy, pulled him aside, sat down with him for a half hour, and they kind of aired their grievances, or you know, or however you want to say it, you know, a Festivus style. But like, you don't have to sit there and have this battle going out. Deion could be a man and could pull this guy aside,
true,
and they could have a conversation, and he could say, "Hey, Sean, what did I do to you? Where are you coming from on all of this, right? Where are you coming from? What is your impetus behind this?" Sean can give his side of the story. They can have a human adult conversation. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, it doesn't seem like a lot of people in sports want to have those. A lot of people in sports do like to bully the media and do like to bully the reporters. And I think that's what Deion is doing. You're going to get a lot more accomplished. And this guy will probably stop this negative attitude towards you if you take the time and sit down with him and find out why the hell he's such a, you know, a curmudgeon, if you will, and why he has an axe to grind, and have that conversation and work it out between the two of you. And then you don't embarrass each other, because it is an embarrassing situation for both of them right now. Mm. PR should handle this guy too. They need to come in and say, "Sean, like, what are we doing here? Like, we've got to find a way to get past this, because you're starting to affect the press conferences for everybody else in this room as well." So it's a two-sided story. Deion does need to sit down with this guy and figure it out, and they can probably bury the hatchet and everybody can move on. But Deion does have a track record with this, and this is where the generational of the show is going to come in, because somebody just texted in about this from the 816, and I totally forgot about this until I saw the text. "I'll never forgive Deion for treating Tim McCarver so bad. Mm-hmm. I chalked it up to adolescence from him, true colors revealed." And if you don't know what that's about, Google Tim McCarver and Deion Sanders. I think Deion threw like a bucket of water on Tim McCarver, and Tim McCarver's like, "You're a real man, Deion." And this was like back in the early 90s Deion Sanders did. So see if you can find that. We'll play that audio at some point, because it is kind of like a post-game interview for something. I don't even remember what it may have been, the World Series or the playoffs or something like that in baseball. And he threw water on Tim McCarver and you know, kind of had that interaction with Tim McCarver. So this isn't something new with Deion in the media. Deion's one of those guys that believes everybody likes him. And when somebody doesn't like him, he can't handle that somebody may not like him or that somebody sees through him. And I think that's ultimately what it's about. I think Sean Keeler sees through the BS that is Deion Sanders, and Deion doesn't like being called on it.
We'll revisit Deion a little bit later, because there's more to uncover on that conversation. But speaking of seeing through it, some teams that go undefeated in preseason have a promise to keep. Now they got to make the playoffs. So in this year's, I guess you can call it this year's undefeated ranks of preseason, you had the Bears, the Jags, the Jets, the Broncos, the Titans, and the Vikings. Which one of these teams makes the playoffs in reality?
Well, because 70% of teams that go undefeated in the preseason since 2020 do not make the playoffs.
Correct. So not good for them.
Right. Not good for them. Of those six, to me, the team that has the best shot to make it to the playoffs is Jacksonville. And the reason I say that is you've got a quarterback coach combination that's been together for a little bit of time now. They're entering year three. They had that down year last year. You look at it as kind of a bounce back this year. You play a little bit weaker of a schedule. I think Jacksonville, of all of those, in my opinion, has the best shot. Bears have a new quarterback coach combination. We have no idea what the Jets are going to present. Tennessee has a new head coach and a guy who drinks mayonnaise in his coffee. Denver's Denver. And Minnesota has Sam Darnold as their quarterback right now. So for me, I think Jacksonville is the team of those six undefeated preseason teams that has the best shot of making the playoffs.
Dr. Mackenstein?
Yeah, let me go Chicago Bears.
Okay.
Chicago Bears got the best chance. Yeah, I mean, come on. I don't know how much I need to go in this. They got the best wide receiver trio in the league. I think their quarterback's a shoe-in for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Heck, I think he'll be in MVP considerations maybe midseason. We'll see what happens. I think that's how good he's going to be. Really, the only thing with the Bears here is their division's tougher. That's why the Jaguars is a solid pick. But I think the Jags have just about as good a division good chance to lose that division as they do to win it and make the playoffs. So, yeah, give me Chicago here.
Okay.
Again, 70% of teams that go undefeated in the preseason do not make the playoffs. There were six this year: Chicago, Jacksonville, New York Jets, Denver Broncos, Tennessee, Minnesota. I want to say the Bears, but you said the Bears.
It's fair.
I'm going to go with Tennessee.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Okay, same division.
Bad division.
So both of you think Houston's taking a step back, or?
No, I think Houston wins the division. I think Tennessee could be a wild card.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Tennessee put a lot of money. I mean, you can go back and look at their transactions over the offseason. They put a lot of money into their team.
Right.
Will Levis finally got the freedom to be the guy that he can be. I believe DeAndre Hopkins is still there, right?
Oh, yeah.
So he's still there. Will Levis has a veteran target. Jacksonville, Houston.
Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard. Yeah.
They got L'Jarius Sneed on the defensive side.
But does he want to be there? Is he going to pout all season?
We get it. Trust me, we'll dive into the.
I don't want to be a Titan.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Sorry.
But I look at this as like.
Nobody does.
You know, revamped team. I think Will Levis is a little bit better than people give him credit for.
Me too.
I think they've moved on from the past. There's no more Mike Vrabel. There's no more Derrick Henry. New faces, new places. They put a lot of money into that team. They're serious about winning. I think the Jacksonville, they've got a lot of pressure to kind of live up to the hype that what they drafted with Trevor Lawrence.
Then signed him too, yeah.
I think that Houston's obviously going to win that division because they are who they are with that offense and C.J. Stroud and their head coach combination as well. Tennessee in there. As well as the Colts, who will figure out what Anthony Richardson can be, because right now in the QB conversation, there's a little bit of conversation in Indianapolis about Joe Flacco being the starter
crazy. Right now.
That's not a good promise to have moving forward in the season. Maybe this is all debunked later on, but we're talking about these six teams. There's a little bit of belief that Tennessee could limp in because they actually did revamp their team. They put some key players in key positions. Kind of gives you some Royals vibes.
Yeah.
They were really bad. They moved on from the last regime, changed coaches, changed process of how they run their offense. And all of a sudden it's like, no pressure. Go out there and be, you know, be productive. And they play in a division where they can beat Jacksonville once, maybe twice. They can compete with the Colts, or maybe win, go 500 with them. And then you got to hold serve and go 500 against the Houston Texans, which can be tough.
Can be tough, yeah.
It is the NFL. But if we had to pick those six teams, I'd take the Tennessee Titans.
Do you guys think the NFC South, or not the NFC South, but the AFC South could get a wild card team this year? Like, do you think that those guys are going to be good enough to get a wild card? Because you've got the Chiefs winning the division. You got Houston winning the division. You've got, I'm going to go Buffalo, I guess, winning the AFC East. And then probably Baltimore winning the North, right? So you got those four teams, and you have three wild card teams, right? Cincinnati's probably going to be a wild card team. Cleveland's probably going to be a wild card team.
Maybe.
And you know, Stefanski is either loved or hated. There's no middle ground with that guy in Cleveland. And then you've got maybe the Jets or maybe Miami as your wild card team. Like, are the teams in the AFC South even strong enough to go out there and capture a wild card berth? Because I feel like I look at that division, unless you win that division, you're probably not going to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I think there's a shot. I think 10 games can give you a chance there. It's going to depend on tiebreakers. But yeah, two AFC East teams, two AFC North teams, and then, yeah, it depends. So they're going to have three from one of those, or are we going to get that second AFC South team?
And I don't think any AFC West team is going to be challenging for the playoffs this year, right? I mean, is Herbert still in the elevator?
His shirt was soaked and he came out like he was born.
I mean, the headline I saw yesterday is like Harbaugh wishes he was trapped in an elevator with 15 players. Like, it's so bizarre.
Sounds like Harbaugh wishes he was back in the womb before birth, the way he described it, which we can play that obviously anytime you want because it's just absolutely cringy and funny. But coming up on the other side, Hall of Fame. What's the number? Brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City, LiftMasters, Patent IQ Technology, and it is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. We figure out how many Hall of Fame members here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Damn glad to have you on a Tuesday. Another hot one out there.
Hot! Like 7 inches from the midday sun, my friend.
That's right.
It's supposed to be hot again tomorrow as well, I think.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah, because then it's going to get down into the 80s, and then, you know, before we know it.
Going to be cold. Give me all the summer vibes I can get.
I'm with you. I don't mind it.
I've lived here my whole life. I know what this. I know what it is. Trying to figure out where that audio is for. You have the audio for Tim McCarver? Is that what you said during the break? Because. So that was Tim McCarver battling Deion Sanders.
Back in the 90s, threw some water on him or whatever it was. Like, so Deion's been kind of this guy for a while now, right? It's going to be interesting to see how that whole thing plays out, Dusty. Like, personally, I'm rooting for him because he got me back into college football, as I keep saying, right? Like, I'm absolutely rooting for him. But you have to do it the right way. You got to treat people the right way. You've got to go about the process the right way. And so you would hate to see Deion Sanders, you know, go out there and achieve success, but people can't get past what he's doing right now, or not achieve success. And then everybody points back to, you know, him fighting with the media and worrying about the wrong things. Because quite honestly, when you're coaching a football team or any organization for that matter, if you're worried about the media, you are clearly focusing on the wrong things.
Right. FanDuel did a interesting tweet or X, whatever it's called these days.
And I'm the old one.
And they said, here's every team's most likely Hall of Famer. I'm not going to go through every team, obviously. But the one they used for the Chiefs.
Cam Thomas.
Yeah. No, they went with Patrick Mahomes. They went with the real obvious one there. But the conversation that we can have as three grown adults is, how many Hall of Famers do you think the Chiefs currently have on their roster?
Currently on their roster, or currently in this era of Chiefs success?
Yes. I guess you could go with...
Because Tyreek Hill's a Hall of Famer.
And he's who they mentioned for the Dolphins.
The Dolphins, yeah. That's crazy, right? Like, I mean, that's a smart play. Like, yeah, you know, I mean, if you're looking at the roster.
He is probably right now their only Hall of Famer. Surefire, most likely Hall of Famer.
Right, right, right.
But if you... If you want to, I mean, obviously Andy Reid doesn't count because he's obviously a head coach and he's obviously a Hall of Famer. Right. We can all agree.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Okay, so there's one.
Are you counting? Because I think Clark Hunt's now going to be considered a Hall of Famer. Maybe the first father-son duo. I don't know. Maybe the Rooneys or somebody, or the Maras. I don't know. But like Clark Hunt, you can start kind of talking about a little bit as a Hall of Famer. Big pioneer in helping the expansion globally of the NFL. Has turned the Chiefs around, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So he may be in the conversation. Brett Veach will probably be in the conversation. And Canton will be, you know, named Brett Veach Town as well. So you get those folks out of the way. The business, not the business side, but the front office side. And then I think you're looking at, obviously, Patrick Mahomes. There's no question. There's no question Travis Kelce's a Hall of Famer. Chris Jones, are you guys ready to put Chris Jones into the Hall of Fame? I am. I think Chris Jones is a Hall of Famer. Right? And I don't think that's Kansas City bias. I think Chris Jones is a Hall of Famer.
Three-time champion.
Yeah. I mean, like, dominates his position right now. And so I think Chris Jones is a Hall of Famer. And then there's one other guy that I believe is a Hall of Famer on this roster. It's Harrison Butker.
Tough for kickers.
It is. And I don't know how many kickers are in the Hall of Fame, but there are some that are in the Hall of Fame. Him and Justin Tucker, I think, are both Hall of Fame kickers. What those two guys are doing right now is just unconsciously awesome. Like those guys are so good at what they do. I think both of those guys get into the Hall of Fame. So I think right now, Dusty, I think there's four guys on this roster that are Hall of Famers.
I think... And again, the question is, because somebody says, I think Creed will make it. Again, it's like current guys that you think right now are Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
There's one that I think could possibly be there, but it makes it tough because Brian Waters isn't in the Hall of Fame.
Brian Waters should be in the Hall of Fame.
I feel like Joe Tooney could be in the Hall of Fame.
That's a fair one.
The guy has what? Absolutely. Does he have two or three rings with New England?
Yeah.
He has two with them.
Two with them and two with the Chiefs.
Right.
He's protected two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
That's a good one, man.
Doesn't allow a ton of sacks, has held his own. I think Joe Tooney is somebody that could probably be considered a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think that's a good conversation to have. Yeah.
And then a lot of people want to say on the text line that Spags is a defensive coordinator.
I don't think assistants go into the Hall of Fame.
I can't imagine they would.
I'm almost positive assistants don't go in. Now, there's that contributors wing to the Hall of Fame where you put like referees and stuff of that nature. And I don't know that assistant coaches go into the Hall of Fame because, you know, Spags's head coaching record will probably drag him down a little bit. But I mean, yeah, if you're talking about great defensive coordinators of all time, there's no question Steve Spagnuolo is on that list. He's won Super Bowls with multiple franchises and shut down Tom Brady a couple of times.
Yeah. The Hall of Fame does not consider coordinators.
They don't. Okay.
Nope. Yeah.
So we've got Mahomes?
Too hard, I think, to do that.
Yeah, it would be very hard.
You'd just be like cower and then you stay with the Chiefs your entire career and be like, this guy's clearly like a great assistant.
Right.
Well, then it's like, does Andy Reid get in twice? You know, there's right. many guys.
Right.
That,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or who, because the age old argument then becomes who's calling plays, how much of an influence that they have. So I'm fine with that, them not putting assistant coaches into the Hall of Fame. At some point in time, you just have to look at it for what it is. And assistant coaches are assistant coaches.
So we have Mahomes?
Yeah.
Kelsey?
Yeah.
Andy?
Yeah.
Brett?
Yeah.
Clark?
Potentially, yeah.
Okay. Tooney?
You think, yeah.
We Chris
think
Jones?
Yeah.
So technically eight.
And Bucker.
And Bucker, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you're going to put Tooney in, you got to put Bucker
in. Yeah, I was
going
to say, Bucker has
Bucker's more
have
of a Hall of Famer
case.
Than Tooney is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what does Tooney really do that you know about, right? Like, as an
offensive lineman,
yeah, it's hard to judge offensive linemen, right? Like, there are certain, like, Will Shields just stands out. You knew how good Will Shields was by watching Will Shields. You know these left tackles are good. I think it's hard for guards to make it into the Hall of Fame. It's quite honestly, I believe, easier for a kicker to make it into the Hall of Fame, especially when you're a kicker and you dominate like Harrison Butker does.
Well, they have moments too, right? You remember kicks.
You remember moments.
Oh, we were down two and Butker came up there. I knew he was going to make that 57.
Right.
You don't like, oh, Joe Tooney on that, when he pulled up the A-gap, you're not,
There's one play in Will Shields' career that I remember vividly, and that's it, and that's against the Arizona Cardinals or Phoenix at the time, whatever it was. And he's running down the field, leading Priest Holmes into the end zone, just blowing dudes up.
Yeah.
Like, he was faster than Priest Holmes on that play. And I'll never forget that. That's a Hall of Fame play. I don't know any Joe Tooney plays.
I did see the other day, they showed the Trey Smith just absolute blow up in Denver. And he just, McKinnon's running in, and Trey Smith just absolutely shoves him 15 feet into Boulder. That was kind of fun. But Joe Tooney, man, he's blocked for the two greatest quarterbacks to ever play football. And he's won four Super Bowls doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when he's not playing. And I know when he shows up with a shoulder injury late into the season, I'm like, oh, crap, we don't have Joe Tooney for this game. I'm officially worried.
But they still went on and won a Super Bowl and played fairly well again along that offensive line. So, you know, I you know, you can make the case all you want, but I don't think Joe Tooney gets in over Harrison Butker.
And no, I'm just having a conversation.
Yeah.
I just... Ever since that Super Bowl loss, it was embarrassing. The first move they made was they went and signed Joe Tooney.
Mm-hmm. Do you re-sign Joe Tooney, though?
I think he might retire if they win a third.
From the 816, I remember Will blasting Ray Lewis. Yeah, that was a dominating game back in the day. That Monday night game in Baltimore, I remember being there for that one. And I mean, him and Brian Waters absolutely owned Ray. Like, I don't think Ray Lewis has ever been that frustrated on a football field.
Somebody also wants to know if Dan Kilgore will make the Hall of Fame.
Yes, he will.
Okay.
Yes.
Don't forget, visit Kansas City, Kansas, Red Friday sports betting t-shirt giveaway this Friday afternoon with your boy, myself, Dusty Likens. I'll be at Tanner's Bar and Grill on 39th and Rainbow in KCK. Stop by between 3 and 6 p.m. to enjoy drink specials and get entered to win a pair of Kansas State football tickets. You want to hurry because quantities are limited. KCK is always the better bet. Bet in KCK. .com. Fellas,
I also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Coach. Coming up on the other side, we rank our running back room, and also we talk more Chiefs before we get right back into the Kansas City Royals, who had the perfect day yesterday for your boys in blue. This is 96.5 The Fan. It's Dusty and Fesco and Mac, and you're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.